Okay.
Yep. Okay, so we've got one sort of probably more of a comment than a question, but Kirsten can address that. And then we'll have a roving mic, so if you have something you want to ask, just put your hand up. Otherwise, I'll start asking questions, and you don't want that.
Okay, the question that was written down, or the comment that was written down was, you know, can't believe that we're only hearing about this now. Why aren't we talking about this from when we're very young? Should I be talking to people about it in school and things like that? Well, I have to say that one of the things that I would say is that you do forget that young people think that they're invincible and immortal. And they don't want to hear about any of these things. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we do encourage people to do, and it was, I guess, much more of a thing, was that, you know, when you get married, you write a will. It was one of the things that was part of a rite of passage, you know, marriage, wills, basics. If you don't get married, people manage not to do wills. And not thinking about some of those things for the future as well. So I just think that that's, I agree, it's an interesting comment. I don't ever think you're too young to think about some of these things, and I think that we can all be good role models as parents and grandparents by having some of these discussions with our families, and that's actually the best way for getting things done.
Okay. No hands yet, so good, because I'll throw mine and then ask all yours. just wondering, though, you see families where there is someone towards end of life, so there's a trigger to start the discussion, but have you any suggestions how can, say, people like us actually open this discussion like this with maybe children we don't see very much, or have you started conversation?
Well, we're coming up to Christmas. You can put this inside of your Christmas crackers or your Christmas stockings. No, I don't know. I mean, I think, whenever I have difficulty, if I know I'm going to have difficulty raising a subject or talking with people, I practice. I practice to the mirror, I practice to the cat, I practice, you know, I do something, and so that then I can be slightly more effective when I say to the kids, actually, this is something that's really important to me, can you listen to me for a minute, and can we have a discussion about that? If it's not a good time now, when will be a good time? I think that when you're in a situation that you're maybe having some of the discussions about what have you been doing today, you've been to a meeting, and we were discussing end of life things. That was really important. You know, I got some quite important views about that. Can I share them with you? I can write them down, but it's actually much more important that I have a conversation and we talk about this.
As an EPA,
yeah,
just a generic form, doesn't have a directive on it.
An enduring power of attorney is quite specific, done through a lawyer. It does need to be done through a lawyer, whereas, and Stuart asked a question about this, is that you can just go onto this website and download the documents about advanced plans and advanced directives,
yeah.
And that is, you know, that, as I say, it has the same sort of legal weight in the hierarchy of decision making, but it's requires somebody to present it at the right time if you don't have an enduring power of attorney. So I do encourage people to have enduring powers of attorney.
And a directive as well?
And directives about things, I think,
yeah.
it's important if you have strong views,
yeah.
It's really important. So that my directive is no nasogastric tubes.
At this stage.
Yeah, at this stage. But then, you know, as I say, but I also, you know, I have said, you know, should you ever have children? Should you ever be pregnant? I would want to know about it so that, you know, I could make plans around those sorts of things.
I have three sons that are my enduring power of attorneys. So, and I only talk to them generally on probably Facebook or Messenger. We don't talk that often. We might see each other once a year. But you just get together and just have a bit of a laugh for once a year, you don't get into anything too deep with them.
Yeah, and so, as I say, I think that it's, you know, if you can work some way of having some of those important discussions,
yeah.
I think it's really good. as I say, that, you know, it turned out for John and I to have those discussions that we needed to be away from everywhere else. We needed to be in the back and beyond in our camper van with no one else to disturb us, to really have some meaningful conversations. And it wasn't that we didn't talk to each other the rest of the time. You know, we were the whole time.
But you had a reason to be meaningful more than probably I would.
Yeah. At the time, we focused on that, yeah.
But I'd just like to use the directive now to say a little bit more, fill in some gaps.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. And it's, you know, one of the places that you can, if you write a paper copy, you can ask your GP to put it in your file, you can ask the hospital to put it in your hospital notes, and now that we're doing that all electronically, it's actually quite easily available. It's one of the sorts of things that you can leave with your lawyer as well.
Yep.
You've got the forms for the enduring power of attorney, things that, you know, it's the sort of thing that, you know, you can do multiple copies of, and that's a bonus.
Yeah.
Well, you sort of answered the question I was going to ask, where do you store this document? Because I know years ago we actually, as a morning tea thing, all of us filled out something similar, and we were told to store it in the fridge.
There's a life to you. You know, one of the things that, you know, that can be really useful is that it is one of the places people look for the ambulance. Look in your fridge. That's always, if people look to my fridge, things fall out, haven't you? Things like that. They would struggle to find a life tube. But, you know, having something like a life tube, you know, my dad, he's just got it on an envelope on the front of the fridge. This is the family contact details. You know, held on the front of the fridge with a magnet. You know, there are different ways, but as I say, certainly the health system are quite keen to help do these things. We're hoping, one of the things that we'd really like is that to have a database where there was all the enduring power of attorney documents, you know, that was available. That would be really useful, because that's in my job, it can be a hassle trying to find the documents. So we'd like something like that. But yeah, you know, a life tube in the fridge. I know that it sounds like a funny thing, but it's it was one of the things that was pushed. So we jump on that jolly little bandwagon. Happy, happy, happy.
Hi, I'm April. I did the talk last week about the enduring power of attorney and will, so really great to hear you today. Just talking, and you mentioned about writing it down or having conversations, just something I have picked up, and like someone just mentioned, how do you start a conversation? I've also recommended that perhaps they record it, so if spontaneously you may start having this conversation with someone, record it perhaps on their phone. It's a good idea, especially because I also have family that have come across and said, well, they've said this to me, and that. So recording it maybe on the phone?
I think that, you know, as I say, one of the things that you will know as well is that there's a remarkable ability for families not to see eye to eye on things. So, you know, that's why I think it is good to have something written down, but, it's better to have the conversations than not to have the conversations. So I don't want to put people off saying things. And as I say, it's tricky because of the way that things can evolve as well, which isn't quite the same for enduring power of attorney. Hopefully that's not going to evolve. It's a nice, orderly journey.
I mean, like you said, there needs to be a register.
Yeah, it would be really good if those things were registered and in a good place.
If you chose the box, tick the box to say you don't want to be resuscitated, and they may not abide by that, you know, the medical staff, is that because by law they have to keep you alive?
No, I mean, it's probably because they haven't read that bit of what you said, because it happens, up front. So I think that's again where it's really important to have had the discussions with somebody who's likely to be with you in a setting when you're poorly and in hospital, you know, for somebody to come and say, actually, I don't think that's what one of the things she'd have wanted.
Right,
or, so, you know, and you say, actually, there's an advanced directive about CPR. I don't want to have the discussion again. I've said not for CPR, and I don't want to keep talking about it. It's in my file. Look at it.
Right. So
you know, there'll be other information there.
If you have chosen that and you've got proof that that's written, whoever's, you know,
it's assault. They will take notice of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
This is probably going to sound silly, but I discussed it with Chris. Years ago, I was married to a policeman. And he'd been to a number of sudden deaths. And he came home and he was really quite concerned that the relatives actually didn't know an awful lot about the person that had died. And filling in the death certificate, he needed maiden names of mothers and surviving siblings and all this sort of thing. So at that time he actually filled out a death certificate for each in anticipation that I was there for years ago. So that's at least 40 years ago. And but I'm just wondering, you know, those sorts of things.
It's really tricky. And I mean, you know, legally, it's really, really tricky when, you know somebody is in Africa doing good works, but you're not actually quite sure where they are. It can be very difficult to get in touch with people. So I think that having things written down or recorded somewhere where somebody knows where to find them is a useful thing. I mean, the comment that kids and things like that make. I mean, I can remember not being interested in the family tree, you know, for a very long time. It wasn't until I had children myself, all of a sudden I began to think, you know, where have they got this from? Where in the family tree did that come from? you know, I was much more interested in it, and it's a really tricky one. I have a box with all the family history things, and you know, I know that I put it all in there. It's not in a terribly orderly fashion at the moment. Someday I'll make it orderly. It used to be in the family Bible. People kept the sort of information in their family Bibles. That was, you know, there were pages that they put in the middle of it for you to record all that on. Well, it would have been far too complicated for my family because we've been married multiple times or something like that. Yeah, it gets really tricky.
Now it's on ancestry.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Just out of interest, how common is it that you come across people who have advanced care plans?
Okay, at the moment I've got a 20-bed ward, and there are two people that have formal advanced care plans there. I guess, you know, that they're people that have had contact with the health system before, but I have to say that we, you know, today we've had four or five conversations that would count for me as being part of an advanced care plan, thinking about how things will be manageable for people in different situations.
So most people tend to do them very late.
People tend to do them late, and it's, you know, you always tend to. I don't know. When you're driving along, and there are those signs that tell you how fast you're going, you know, immediate feedback is always a really good thing. It controls my speed much better than most things. And can I get it exactly on the speed limit? We respond really well to immediate feedback. It's going to be one of the things that's likely. But as I say, for John and I, if we hadn't had those conversations early on, I'd have been in the poo when he talked to me about it.
And one thing I'll throw in as well, given the difference in family structures now and the number of breakups and separations and estrangements and so on, this story is sort of around family where you've got close contact and your husband and this, that and
the other. Well, you know, I have to say, you know, what I've learned is that families are very dynamic, and that, in our ward with one of the people that's got an advanced care plan at the moment. One of those people, you know, one of the people that's important to her is actually her ex-husband. So, you know, even though that didn't seem like a logical thing necessarily to the rest of us, that was, she said, you know, he's actually the father of my children, and that's an important part of things that are important to me, so make it work.
Okay, any more questions? Okay, well, I just on behalf of U3A and everyone here, thank you very much for coming along and raising these issues. And thank you very much for that whole list of questions, because I know when we first started the idea of this series and just mentioning it to people, the number of points and issues that people came up that I'd never ever thought about. And then just to have some lists saying these are some of the things that we could consider. And also, as in the Advanced Care Plan, you look at some of those questions and think, I don't have a clue how I'd answer that. But to be able to actually discuss that over time with people and see what they think and what you think, and, you know, get a clearer idea of where we're all heading, really, I think it's something that's extremely valuable. So it's the second time you've come to join us, and both times it's been very informative and very helpful, and we really appreciate your input in this. And I have to say as well, whenever I mention you, and people say, ah, you were involved with some relative and so on, and they speak very highly of you, and I can see why. So thank you very much on behalf of everyone else. Thank you for coming, and we've got some